All right, hello. Welcome to the Free Zone. We've got Reverend Dr. Freeman coming to you today. We're going to dig into some Bible mysteries. There's all kinds of interesting stuff going on our planet, and I think that there's a lot of the religion that we need to understand. So we're going to go into it today. We're going to get into a little bit of just who is Lucifer. We're going to try and understand this just a little bit. And then later in the second hour, I'm going to give you my new prediction. I've got a new timeline. I'm looking at things, and we'll outline all that in the second hour. But this first hour, we're going to look into some mysteries of the Bible and Freemasonry. Now, everyone seems to know this story of Lucifer, the proud angel that fell from heaven, that came down to become Satan. Everyone seems to say that this is the case and this is true, and we all know that this is how it is. So I'm going to challenge you out there. I'm going to challenge those that are into reading the scriptures, reading the Bible, and feel like they know this story pretty well. And the thing is stories get told over and over again, generationally. They get expressed down through lineage. And so some of these concepts get distorted. Imagine that. It's like the story of the mosquito eater. Everyone around the world knows that that little bug bouncing around in their house is the mosquito eater. And yet it's not. These things do not eat mosquitoes. It's an ordinary average house fly known as the crane fly. But everyone knows. Just as everyone knows, Lucifer is Satan. So let's explore this idea a little bit. Now let's just take a couple of biblical anomalies right off the bat just to see. Now, of course, this is supposed to be a perfect book and therefore no mistakes are made. And yet, often there are. So we want to have an idea about this. So we look into, words. Now, Obama comes at you with words like change and hope, progress. And yet, attaches nothing to those words. He allows you to fill the blanks in by yourself. So in that same way, the Bible uses the word Lord and Satan, and everybody just says, oh, that's God and the devil, and never once questions. Perhaps these are numerous lords and numerous Satans. Now, just to give you an example of what could be considered a biblical mistake, God forbid, we look to 2 Samuel 24. And this is where it says, David counts the fighting men of Israel. Okay, well, if you read this story in Samuel 24, 2 Samuel 24, we find that, again, the anger of the Lord burnt against Israel, and he incited David against them, saying, go take a census of Israel and Judah. Count the fighting men of Israel and Judah. Now, you'll notice that this was saying that the Lord was so angered, he incited David to number the fighting men of Israel. And now we skip ahead 500 years, and we get to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 21. Guess what? It's the exact same story. David numbers the fighting men of Israel. And if you read through it, you'll find that it is an identical story to the one in Samuel, except for things are a little more extravagant in the second telling. The price of the temple becomes more, the number of fighting men becomes more, but hey, this is inflation, right? 500 years from the first writing. But now we have, in Chronicles 1, 21, David numbers the fighting men of Israel. And it goes on to say, Satan rose up against Israel and incited David to take a census of the fighting men. Wait a minute. If this is a retelling of the same story of Samuel 24, and it says, the anger of the Lord incited David to fight and number the fighting men, and then we get to Chronicles 500 years later, and it says that Satan rose to incite David to count the fighting men of Israel. A little contradiction there. What's going on? Definitely we got the Lord and Satan confused. Curious that. I have some theories on why that might be, but that's not the point of this discussion. The point is to show that there are some anomalies in the Bible. And one of these anomalies is a man named Lucifer. Lucifer, is it a man? Is it a person? What is Lucifer? Well, we start to look to the Bible and you ask any regular Christian as to why they know for a fact that Lucifer is Satan. They'll come up with a few examples. Now, what is like to be done here is that people would like to find little sentences that just happen to make up the story that they know is the right story. And so some of the first tellings of Lucifer, we get to, Isaiah. And this is, of course, where the only place the word Lucifer pops up in the Bible. Now, this is important to me. The reason I'm getting into this is because when I'm looking at Masonic symbolism, we find constant reference to Lucifer, Venus, and we know them as Luciferians. And yet, everyone wants to connect that to Satan, when there is no possible way to connect Lucifer to Satan. Now, the curious thing here we have, when the word Lucifer actually does pop up in the Bible, it shows up in only the King James Version, and which I believe had Sir Francis Bacon's hand in it. And the story that goes on to say, how art thou, this old English, how art thou have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how thou art cut to the ground and did weaken the nations. Okay, that's where the word Lucifer pops into the Bible. It's the only place it pops in, and only in the King James Version. You're not going to find it in older versions. You might find the word phosphoros, which was the Latin version of Lucifer, which means light bringer or light bearer. Now, what is Isaiah speaking of? Now, when we go to the back of the top, now people would just like to take that one sentence and say, there, okay, see, Lucifer has fallen. And so he's this fallen angel that led all the other angels astray. No, not at all. This very passage is to do with Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. It states right as a right from the beginning to tell you that this is the Lord's commandment to the king of Babylon, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon, which was Nebuchadnezzar. So the one reference to Lucifer is in reference to Nebuchadnezzar. If you read the whole passage, which I won't read to you now, you will find that that's who Lucifer is being referred to, is King Nebuchadnezzar, who just turns out to be Saddam Hussein, you know? And Saddam Hussein is claiming to be Nebuchadnezzar reincarnated. It also goes to the Matrix and the name of their ship, which could be properly termed Lucifer. So in this we find the message towards Lucifer is to the king Nebuchadnezzar. Now, everyone else wants to, well, no, there's more. I know there's more. There's some story in there, I know, that says something about this fallen angel, and he came down, and I know it's there. And so they look a little deeper, and they come up with a line, a passage out of Ezekiel 28. And we get to the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, take up a lament concerning the king of Tyre, and say to him, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You were the model of perfection, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, garden of God. Precious stones adorned you. You had all these topaz, crystallite, turquoise, beryl. Your settings and mountains were gold. And you were anointed as a garden cherub, and I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. I think it's interesting that the fiery stones are with the mount of God. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Now, of course, this is all speaking about King Hiram of Tyre. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and sin, and I expelled you, O garden cherub, from the fiery stones. Right? Your account, you became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. That's about King Hiram of Tyre. Now, the curious note is that if you've looked into my symbolism in the shock and awe, and shock and awe comes down, strikes Nebuchadnezzar or Saddam Hussein using the Moabs or the mother of all bombs, then you'll start to notice the Masonic connections to Lucifer. Because first of all, we have King Nebuchadnezzar, who, of course, as I said, was Saddam Hussein, reincarnated. And then you have King Hiram of Tyre, which is the one man that Zechariah Sitchin says was taken off of this planet and taken to God, as it were, and then returned. Of course, Zechariah Sitchin comes from the ancient astronaut perspective, so he was taken to the planet of the gods. and then return. And when he returns, he has this strange man with him known as Hiram Abiff. And Hiram Abiff is the first Master Mason. So who is Lucifer? Well, we keep finding Lucifer in connection to these stories that go to Tyre, they go to Babylon, they go to Chorazin, but not a single one ever states that Lucifer is Satan. This is incorrect. So, let's have a look at what the Masons have to say. Masons are a curious sort, and you know, you should realize that as of passage of House Resolution 33, let's have a look at that. We're getting to a lot of stuff today. It's going to be fun. Government tracts, we're looking at House Resolution 33, recognizing the thousands of Freemasons in every state in the nation and honoring them for their special recognition, which has established Freemason Day now to fall on June 24th, which is St. John's Day, because we're not going to get to St. John today. We'll get to that in another tale. I want to stick to Freemasonry, and I want to get to my prediction. So, Lucifer and the Freemasons. Okay, so we're looking at House Resolution 33, which establishes Freemason Day on June 24th. And, of course, all this glowing and wonderful stuff, recognizing the thousands of Freemasons in every state and nation and honoring them for their many contributions to the nation throughout its history. Whereas those whose long lineage extends back to before the nation's founding have set an example of high moral standards and charity for all people. Well, at this point, I would suggest that you go Google these two words. I hate to use Google. Web search. These two words. Freemasonry and chip. Let's see just how charitable they are. So the founding fathers of this great nation, the signers of the Constitution, were mostly Freemasons. And so we have now resolved that June 24th, will be Freemason Day, that the House Representative recognizes the thousands of Freemasons in every state and nation and honors them for their many contributions to the nation throughout its history. We're going to get deeper into this. So if this is the case, if the Freemasons have founded America as they have, and they did, and that's the truth, and that's why there are so many, well, that's how I get to make all my movies, right? There's much to show of the Masonic origins of America. So what do the Masons have to say? And this is important because, well, they're the ones in charge of your planet or in charge of your nation. And therefore, I think you should understand their religion, right? So Lucifer, according to the Supreme Mother Council of the Temple of the 33rd, in their book, the glossary, Morals and Dogma, in trying to explain what Albert Pike was trying to say, which we'll get to him in a little bit. Lucifer. This word is commonly used to designate Satan. Although the only use of it in scripture is as a descriptive attribute of a particular king, that being Nebuchadnezzar. Jerome and others, possibly others before, thought it was a reference to Satan, and the association stuck. By the time of Milton, the connection was so strong that many believe it to be scriptural in origin. I need some water. As let's see, so then we're going to look into Albert Pike's use of it, and it comes from Eliphas Levi's History of Magic. Because you got to realize that these guys in charge of our nation that we are honoring on June 24th, Freemason Day, practice magic. You know? And let's start to understand who our leaders are so we can understand what they're doing and why they're doing it. And this is the method of my predictions. This is the method of how I come up with the surprising notes that I do. Because I'm looking at it as a ritual, as an act of magic. Now, Albert Pike does mention Lucifer a number of times in his Morals and Dogma. And this one's pretty interesting. This is in the Master degree, which is the third degree. And we're not going to have too much time to get into this, but maybe we'll skip that one for now, come back to it. And I will take you to the end of the Master degree, and this is the quote that most people bring up about Albert Pike and Lucifer, and I seem to have misplaced that. Yes. Most people will bring up this quote, just as people like to bring up things out of the Bible, just bring it out of context, say the words of Ezekiel, the words of Isaiah, and the words of Samuel are all pulled together to tell us the story of Lucifer being Satan. You know, one says fall, one says lightning bolt, one says this, and therefore they all mean that. So in that same way, people will go through Albert Pike's Morals and Dogma and just pick out what they like to address. And I'm going to address one of those at this point. But you must realize that if you read Morals and Dogma, it is a very intriguing read. And it'll leave you with a knightly feel, with the feel of being honorable. So it's a curious study, and we're going to get deeper and deeper into this. This is the Reverend Dr. Freeman. See you on the other side.
Always remember those in strong swords. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.
To be at the top. I'll tell you what, man, I look at all these people at the top and they just look like they're hating life. I don't think I want to be a top rock star. Okay, so the apocalypse. All right, are we working towards it? This kind of gets into my Obama prediction coming up in the second hour. I want to get to that. But the apocalypse, according to Albert Pike, in the Morals and Dogma on the section of the Grand Pontiff. And this is the part that most people pull up when they're talking about Lucifer and the Freemasons. So Albert Pike goes on to say, the apocalypse is, to those who receive the 19th degree, the apotheosis of that sublime faith which aspires to God alone and despises all the pomps and works of Lucifer. Lucifer, the light bearer, strange and mysterious name to give to the spirit of darkness, Lucifer, the son of the morning, is it he who bears the light? And with its splendor, intolerable, blinds, feeble, sensual, and selfish souls? Doubt it not, for traditions are full of divine revelations and inspirations, and inspiration is not of one age nor of one creed. So he goes on to say, the apocalypse is indeed a book truly obscure. Now, this is the case. I mean, good God, the apocalypse, my God. And people act like they know what this all means. And you know, there's so many interpretations. Now, when you start to look into the day star, the son of the morning, you quickly come to, Jesus. You know, Jesus was the day star, was he not? We can find it right here. Under 2 Peter 1, got all my biblical quotes ready for you here. And it goes on to say that we did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. No. Some of these are cleverly invented stories. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received honor and glory from God the Father when a voice came to him from the majesty, the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard the voice that came from the heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place. Isn't that what Albert Pike said about Lucifer? Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Yes, that's right. Jesus is the morning star, the day star. But what the heck is that? So, all right. Well, we've definitely clarified that Lucifer is not Satan. We cannot find that anywhere, nowhere, and actually the word Lucifer didn't pop up until the King James Version. Freemasons tell us absolutely no, Lucifer's not Satan, just people all tend to believe that. Well, what is Lucifer then? Well, we start looking a little deeper, and Lucifer is Venus. All right, now it starts to take a little more note. We can put aside these ideas, you know, how hard that is to break that type of programming, say Lucifer is not Satan, because we've heard this over and over and over again, and we know it's true, but it's not. Go prove it to yourself. You know, you can pick and choose your sentence, but you can realize that they're writing about Nebuchadnezzar and they're writing about King Haram of Tyre. All right? They are not writing about Satan. So, when you look up Lucifer, well, first of all, of course, you find it's a friction match. And this is like one of my favorite symbolic representations in Hollywood is Phoenix Pictures, who uses a friction match as their icon saying Lucifer Pictures. You will find the Lucius Trust, the Lucifer Trust, and you'll also find the Anno Lucius calendar being used by the Freemasons on all of their temples and some of their buildings. So it is the year 6009 at this point in the Anno Lucius calendar. So Lucifer is Venus, the day star, the morning star, the star of the morning, the star of the evening. This is Venus. Now why? I don't know. That's a curious note that still needs to be understood, and this is why I'm bringing these things up to you, because we're never going to understand the religion of the people in charge of our nation unless we start to re-question these thoughts. So as we start to look into our nation, America, we find a curious connection. As we go to the Hiram Key, which is a book written by, Knight and Lomas, yes, and you can find the web of Hiram linked to freemantv.com if you want to go see. They have put up quite an interesting Freemasonic study. Now, these guys are Freemasons studying Freemasonry, much like old brother Manly P. Hall. So they go on to say, I'm kind of jumping into it here, but Josephus, the historian of the Jews in the first century, observed that the Essenes believe that good souls have their inhabitation beyond the ocean, in a region that is neither oppressed with storms or rain or snow, nor with intense heat, but refreshed by the gentle breathing of the west wind, which perpetually blows from the ocean. This idyllic land across the sea to the west is a belief common to many cultures, from the Jews to the Greeks to the Celts. The Mandaeans, however, believe that the inhabitants of this far land are so pure that mortal eyes will not see them, and that this place is marked by a star. The star's name is Merica. A land across the ocean, they go on to say, a perfect place marked by a star known as Merica, or perhaps a Merica. We knew that the morning star had been important to the Nazareans. And the evening star, the star of the west, is the same celestial body, the planet Venus. As we were to find out in great detail later in our researches, the United States of America was created by Freemasons, and its constitution is based on Masonic principles. And as we already knew, the morning star is the one that every newly raised Master Mason is required to look towards. The star as a symbol has always been important to the United States. Our minds immediately turn back to Masonic ritual and the closing of the lodge meeting when the following questions are asked of the senior and junior wardens by the worshipful master. Brother Senior Warden, whither are you directing your steps?
Towards the west, worshipful master.
Brother Junior Warden, why leave the east to go to the west?
In search of that which was lost, worshipful master.
Brother Senior Warden, what was that which was lost?
The genuine secrets of a master mason, worshipful master.
The star of America. America, America, the star that the Masons worship, the very five-pointed star that they are asked to venerate the moment they are resurrected by the lion's grip paw during the master ritual.
See you on the other side.
As America limps on its last legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Taking it down on Lucifer. Now, you know, we're taught to be proud, and of course that's supposed to be the fall of Lucifer. We're taught to be proud of our nation. We're proud to be gay. We're proud to be black. We're proud to be white. We're proud to be Christian. We're proud to be Muslim. Pride, 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 pride. And that's what brings us down. That's the tool that's used against us, our own pride, and these guys know that. When we start to look into the symbolism of Freemasonry, it gets quite curious. Now, certainly our goddess has been one of my favorite studies, and I think I am the only expert on the goddess Columbia. I'm not sure about that, but I haven't found another, so I'm going to state that that's the case. well, so when we're looking into this goddess Columbia, and we start especially right here in Austin, Texas, where we have a great statue of her put up in 1933 as a war memorial, and she is standing there with her angel wings, and to her right is a pentagram and to her left is a shell. And of course these are the symbols of Texaco and Shell, and you're going to find that every major corporate logo can be brought into Masonic ritual and explained. So now we're looking at the shell and the pentagram of Columbia. And there's a couple of different ways of looking at this. Now one, of course, these symbols are symbols of Venus. There is a very easily stated answer. Venus comes up on the shell. She's the watery goddess, goddess of love and all of this. And of course, Venus is Lucifer. So we're saying, okay, here are some Luciferians putting their symbols in front of us. And I find it very curious that, you know, she is known as the pentagram star, and or the pentagram goddess, and then we also have Starbucks.
And as I look to corporate logos and I find like VW equals 666 in Hebrew or Fox equals 666 in English, like your Firefox browser, you know, Fire 666. It's a very curious study when you start to get into this. I mean, I personally don't believe in the whole Jesus-Satan paradigm. So it gets a little confusing at times, and there goes my little Satan. she makes an appearance on every show. So as we start to look to this this picture, and we're starting to understand that these guys are in charge, we find this over and over again, we have to understand what their religion is and what they mean. And so we start to understand that that most of these symbols go back to astrology. They go back to, astrology. So that starts to understand, and you can look at the Statue of Columbia there in front of the UT campus as a symbol of Virgo, the Virgin, and we can see how the stars align with Virgo and the Virgin in America.
Diva, stop.
And then, sorry about that. And we could start to align these stories with astrology. Yeah. It's, no, it's not. So we start to look into the astrological symbols of what we're looking at, and we come back again to the story of the dragon. We come to the story of Revelation. Now, as I said, the Freemasonic order is reverent of St. John. You will identify yourself as a Mason, having come into the temple as the St. Johns had done before you. So now we look to St. John in Revelation 12. And first of all, you tell me if somebody can tell me, anyone, what the hell this means. So in Revelation St. John 12, we have the woman and the dragon. And it goes to say, a great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. Now there, right there, you see the picture of Mary. I mean, that's obvious, and also the picture of Isis, because she is standing with the moon under her feet, and usually a serpent under one of her foot. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns on his heads. Now, everybody's trying to take that line and make it into some political statement. I disagree, because it goes on to say, his tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. So what we're looking at here is an astrological cycle. We're looking at the precession of the equinox. They're talking about Draco and Virgo. That's what this story is about, and it's talking about entering into this new age. And so when we start to look at these stories, and then people want to say, well, it says the dragon, and therefore the dragon is Satan, because somewhere in the Bible it says Satan is the dragon. Well, actually, it's in this verse, actually. But what we find is that this she gave birth to a son, and most believe that to be Jesus. But, of course, it says, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. I don't think he did that. And, of course, this is Revelations, which is supposed to be prophecy of something coming in the future. So it says that her child was snatched to God, to his throne, and the woman fled to the desert, and she was taken care of for 1,260 days. Now, these are always curious numbers, and while looking into in astrological features, you should take it and adapt that to the precession of the equinox. Then it goes on to say, and then there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels fought back. But they were not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan. He who leads the whole world astray, he was hurled to earth, and his angels with him. Okay, so here you have the one story in the St. John's Revelations that speaks of a dragon being cast down to earth, and somehow, some way, that's supposed to be referring to Lucifer, even though Lucifer is actually in recognition of Nebuchadnezzar. We're getting confused. So let's keep it all straight. Let's realize that this is so obtuse. This is so out there. No one can understand this. We can come up with all kinds of things to say what they mean by this clothed woman and the third of the stars taken out of the sky by the dragon. I'm telling you right now that this is referring to the precession of the equinoxes, referring to time. And this is something that you will find throughout all of the ancients, all of the ancient structures, and the stories that have been passed through are to keep this knowledge alive. Because it takes a long time to learn the precession of the equinox. It will take you a minimum of 26,000 years, and more like 52,000 years just to prove that you were right and got it right. So how did they know about this way back when? Well, that's when you start to get into ancient civilizations and to understand that this story goes a bit further back than we are led to believe. So when we're looking at this story and we're looking towards the astrological cycles and the astronomical significance, we also cannot avoid Sirius. Because once you start to look to the goddess and we see her with her shell and her pentagram, we make these connections with Venus, but then we can take it to the next stage and we get to Isis. We get to the star Sirius, which is venerated by numerous nations, mostly Egypt, the Mayans, Aztecs, and also the Freemasons. And sure enough, that little five-pointed star that they're talking about, they have another version of it. Just to confuse things, they have the blazing star, which is known as Sirius. Now, I was pretty curious when I was at Benjamin Franklin's lodge in Philadelphia, and I went into the Egyptian room, and I looked around, and each of the corners on the ceiling was the blazing star of Sirius, the Freemasonic symbol. But as I looked directly over my head, I happened to notice the Dogon symbol for Sirius, which is another very curious connection to me. Going back to the fish people. Much more to come. See you on the other side is the Free Zone. With Dr. Free. The Bible's about God. I would say Bible's about the higher love. I'd say that it's a bit confused and we need to understand. We need to understand more so that we can understand those that are controlling our existence. So let's just consider this. Now this is from David Ovison, who wrote a great book, Sacred Architecture of Our Nation's Capital. Now, David, I believe, was also a Freemason trying to explore Freemasonry. Because understand that they don't know. They don't know what their rituals are about. They don't know what all of this means. My father, as worshipful master of the lodge, would say, oh, all that gobbledygook, you know? They don't know. They just go through it, and they wonder why. But they don't even realize that they're practicing an ancient form of magic. I would call it sorcery. Well, let's look a little deeper now. David Ovison goes on to say, the extraordinary truth is that the very existence of the Washington Monument is intimately linked with the Egyptian star, Sirius, the Sihor, which the ancients represented in their sacred hieroglyphics as an obelisk as well as a star. And actually, you'll find that it's an obelisk, a star, and a dome. So this is very much the iconography of downtown Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia, or even downtown Austin, or downtown Denver, or downtown any nation capital. You're going to find these life-size hieroglyphs to Sirius. So how is it possible that this most important star of the ancient world should find itself, as it were, resurrected in the architecture of the United States? In the course of that day when the cornerstone of the Washington Monument was laid, now consider Washington Monument is 555 feet tall, and it's said that the foundation has to go down a third of that, being 111 feet, so actually the numbers of the Washington Monument size would end up 666. I don't know. I don't believe in the whole story of Satan so I'm just looking at it. You know, that's what you get from me is just a unbiased, somewhat unbiased view, just to look, to question, to understand these things. So anyway, moving along, this monument was laid, Washington's monument, as it was, the cornerstone was laid, the sun would have passed over Sirius. Now, I just recently was sent another researcher's information on this type of topic, and he did get into some very interesting things and actually helped compound my new prediction. But what he... what he was talking about was the Roswell connections to July, the 4th of July, and the crash there, the crash of the UFO on Roswell. The sun also was directly in front of Sirius at that moment. Curious connection there. Anyway, computations clearly show that on the day of the Declaration of Independence was agreed in Philadelphia, the sun was on Sirius. So the laying of Washington Monument's cornerstone, the sun was on Sirius. The day of the Declaration of Independence being agreed, was the sun was on Sirius. And then when the UFO crashed in Roswell, the sun was on Sirius. The Mason who first signed the Declaration of Independence would have been aware of the particular significance of the 4th of July as a cosmic event. The day was the second in the so-called dog days. Dog days because Sirius is the dog star, which began on July 3rd, which was actually the day of the Roswell crash. The dog days are so called because they're referred to the rising of the star Sirius. Okay, so Sirius is on the mind of our leaders. Why? Let's we're going to keep digging. I've got my own theories, and I put them out there, and we just are able to explore these ideas without too much worry. Now, another thing that I forgot to mention when we were discussing that woman with the dragon, and it states that she's pregnant. Well, when you go look at the Statue of Liberty, look really closely. That woman is pregnant. Or if you go to the Temple of Athena in Nashville, Tennessee, and go look at that 42-foot golden-clad goddess standing inside of the Parthenon, you'll see that she's pregnant. And if you want to see it right now, or after the show, go check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/FreemanTV, and check out the Esoteric Adventures in Nashville, and I'll show you that she's pregnant. So we're getting to more and more connections. We're starting to realize, okay, that these stories have connections. The picture is coming a little clearer. We got to disassociate certain things with certain words because they get confusing when you have just a story, the story that people made up of Satan being Lucifer, and then that totally confuses all your symbol literacy. So let's start to change our symbol literacy. Let's start to change these terms to the concepts that they are meant to be. So now we're moving into my prediction. We are getting very close. We're looking at the 4th of July, and I am going to get all of that in the second hour. Got to keep you hanging. So now, as you understand, we live in a Masonic nation. They created everything that we have been trained to be proud of, and they worship Lucifer or Venus. So let's not confuse that with Satan. Even though they put numerous 666s all around us, yeah, I'm sorry, I can't take it. I can't believe that that this would possibly go together with some sort of satanic plan. I mean, really. But yet, here they are putting these 666s into our reality constantly. I'm trying to figure out what's going on in the chat room there. I'm wondering if what I'm covering is a bit esoteric. I know that it is. And so, you know, your questions really help. And I had intended to take phone calls, but it took me too long to get through this information because there is so much to get to. So much. So when we realize that this whole story of Lucifer, Satan actually goes back to really Milton and Dante and the Divine Comedy or Paradise Lost, that's when the stories start coming in. And then we realize that the symbolism that we're looking at clearly shows that we're talking about the morning star. And then we recognize that the morning star is a symbol of Venus. But the morning star, or the day star, is also a symbol of Jesus. Now, how does this fit? When we start to look into Hitler's symbolism, now realize he was a high occult order, a member of the Thule Society and all of that, we start to recognize that his symbol, the canted swastika, the swastika being a symbol of the sun, and the cantedness of this is a mathematical equation representing the Son of God. So here again, in Hitler's canted swastika, we have the symbol of Lucifer, the sun god, which is Apollo, which is all Horus, and is St. John as well. If you look into the symbolism of St. John, you'll find him as the phoenix or the eagle with a circle around its head and often holding down a serpent, which is the flag of Mexico, which gets kind of curious, and we'll get deeper into that later. So we're looking at the Luciferian symbols connected with Jesus. Now, how does this work? Well, when you're in a Masonic lodge, you do a ritual that you are Hiram Abiff and you're going to be resurrected by King Hiram of Tyre, or King Solomon, I'm sorry. And you are in Solomon's temple and you are there to be resurrected. You go through the whole ritual and you do what is known as circambulations, which is circling the altar in the Masonic lodge. Now, during this, you are hoodwinked or blindfolded. And you are led by a noose around your neck with your sleeve pulled over your arm and your pant leg rolled up, and you circle the altar a number of times. And we'll get to it on the other side. This is the Free Zone. Get interesting. Covered a lot of topics there in that first hour, a lot of thoughts, hopefully blew a couple of minds. Hopefully people are willing to at least doubt what they believe they already know and go and start to look again, because we got to put these things aside and we've got to understand who these people are that are running our nation. I mean, realize that 80% of the Supreme Court are Freemasons. Realize that when I was at the WTO IMF protest in Washington, D.C., and I yelled at the riot squads. Now, we're talking about the cops that are holding 600 people hostage. And I yelled to them, how many of you are widow's sons? And they all looked my way. I mean, this is a scary force we're up against, and they're all in there doing their business behind closed, locked doors. You go look, go to myspace.com/FreemanTV and check out some of my pictures from Hollywood and have an idea of just how large some of these temples are. I mean, they take up a block and there's no windows and they're doing dark rituals inside of there. There's, you know, I've been inside many of these temples. You'll find coffins, you'll find crazy masks, you'll find the Ark of the Covenant. I definitely found that. And this gets me to where we're at now. So we had to get through some loops to start to understand a few things. Now let's get to Barack Hussein Obama. Yes, very curious fellow. I find it curious his name. You know, Barack, that's the name of the guy in Israel. You know, and Hussein, well, we all know he's Nebuchadnezzar, Lucifer. Obama, you know, a.k.a. Barry Satoru. So there's going to be much to come here when we start to get into the interesting act of this is not our president. I think that this will make for a very, very interesting time indeed. And there have been a number of articles out. One that I really like was by Debbie Kidd. And she goes on to say, the circus out in Washington, D.C. for the unlawful swearing-in of the imposter president Barack Hussein Obama, a.k.a. Barry Satoru, and so forth, is now over. All the gushing and slobbering over the trashy-looking rag worn by the brilliant Michelle Obama has faded into the night. I wonder how many mindless mouthpieces given their commentary. The wonderful, smart first lady. Now, that outfit she wore, the Black Widow dress, I mean, come on, that was bizarre. And Michelle Obama was ordered by the Illinois Supreme Court to stop practicing law. Curious. We cannot find out, though, because the records are sealed. So she goes on, Debbie Kidd, saying that in 2004, the imposter president unlawfully ran for the U.S. Senate and got help from Acorn. And now they're trying to push a bill. So on February 28th of 2008, they began pushing legislation to issue of citizenship. And they introduced a bill to the Senate for consideration. The bill was known as S-2678, Children of the Military Families Natural Born Citizen Act. The bill was co-sponsored by, surprise, surprise, Senator Barack Obama, Senator Hillary Clinton, and another Mendez and Coburn. And then again, they put forth the bill, S-2678, attempted to change Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5 of the Constitution of the United States with reference to the requirements of being a natural born citizen, and hence the entitlement to run for President of the United States. And this bill met the same fate that the similar attempts to change the Constitution have in the past. Attempts such as the Natural Born Citizen Act were known to have failed, and that text scrubbed from the Internet with only a shadowy cachet copy left. So we find that this story, I mean, it's on the Globe in the grocery store aisles, you know, the story of Barack Obama's birth. Why won't he give his birth certificate? Well, I don't believe anything is done by chance by these guys. I believe it's all an act and that it is set up for a further agenda. And so, of course, they knew that this story was going to come out about Barack Obama's birth. So you would use this, you know, we need to look at how they would use this, and what could easily happen is this whole idea of opening the Constitution because nobody wants to let Barack go. So they open the Constitution to a constitutional convention, and most likely it goes out the window. The Constitution, that is, that goddamn piece of paper, as the president, ex-president put it. Which, you know, to me is a Masonic document, and therefore, I don't know. You know, I see these things as spells. I see them as Masonic spells, and therefore they need to usurp their own spell or else another regime has gotten into power. It's a curious thing. But what I look at is the overarching view. I also take a bit of a synchro-mystical view to all of this, and this is where a lot of my predicting comes from, is kind of pulling different tabs and things together that come to me in seemingly miraculous ways. and I don't know, but I keep getting them right. So I'm going to try again, and I'm going to throw one at you here, and it may pan out, it may not. I don't know. This is not a competition for me. I'm not a competitive person. I do not have the desire to be the one that got it all right. The reason I even do any of this, like predicting 911, predicting 1013, predicting W being forced into office, is so that the people that hear me go, okay, I see this as a big stage show. I see this as acts of prestidigitation, acts of stage magic. So we're going to have a look at Baraka Naughton. And we're going to wonder about his change. Now, when Baraka Naughton came before the public, he came and said, we are the ones we've been waiting for. We are the change that we seek, as the continuum of that. And what he was quoting was Hopi prophecy. So the Hopi prophecy goes on to say, you have been telling the people that this is the 11th hour. You must tell the people that this is the hour, and there are things to be considered. Where are you living? What are you doing? What are your relationships? Are you in the right relation? Do the children want what they see in you? Where is your water? Know your garden. Does your life grow corn? Okay, these are very, very important questions. And this is something that we all have no answers for, because we're not growing any corn. We're not growing anything. And most of our children don't want anything to do with their parents. And our relationships are in hell. So we're at a very weak state because we are not together. We are not unified in our own spirits with each other. So the Hopi go on to say, it is time to speak your truth. Create your community. Be good to each other and do not look outside yourself for the leader. Okay, this is the prophecy that Baraka Naughton was quoting. This could be a good time. There is a river flowing now very fast. It is so great and swift that there are those who will be afraid. They will try to hold on to the shore. They will feel they are being torn apart, and they will suffer greatly. No, the river has its destination. Now, to me, this is something that I've been stating all along, the idea of synchronicity. Go ahead, let go. Everybody's trying to cling to these old ways, and everybody wants to cling to the Constitution, these Masonic documents. And I'm like, you guys, you know, this is the Masons you're talking about. You don't understand their religion any more than I do. I mean, I might have a little more understanding because I read all their damn books. But yet, here is a mysterious group that is doing secret things behind locked doors, and they own your country. They are the corporation that owns the United States of America. Okay, so this also all goes back to the Knights Templar, which I think we will get to. So this river is taking us forward. It is. And if we could let go, if we could quit chasing our enemy, if we could stop trying to hold on to outdated, outmoded ideals and just let ourselves go, I believe that the universe does have a destination and that we are all part of it. The elders say we must let go of the shore, push off into the middle of the river, keep our eyes open and our heads above water, see who's in there with you, and celebrate. All right? This is a state that we're all going to be in here very soon, because if you think that Barack Obama is doing away with FEMA camps or doing away with Patriot Act, doing away with all the negative things that we saw through the 66W, then you're wrong, because all that's not going away, and it's going to get worse, and there are signs of that. At this time in history, we are to take nothing personally, least of all ourselves. For the moment that we do, our spiritual growth and journey comes to a halt. Don't take yourself too serious. Don't take any of this too serious. People ask me, how is it that I'm still happy and smiling? Well, this is an adventure for me. I'm loving it. It's curious, and I'm not afraid. I'm having an amazing, miraculous life. The time of the lone wolf is over, the Hopi go on to say. Gather yourselves, and this is the truth. And that's something that's been instilled us in our pride of American individualism. The time of the lone wolf is over. We must come together. Banish the word struggle from your attitude and vocabulary. We don't need it. We can get along together just fine, every one of us. And we don't need those leaders. We don't need government. We don't need to go back to all these old ways. All that we do now must be done in a sacred manner and in celebration. We are the ones we've been waiting for. Okay? That is from the elders of the Hopi Nation, and it is so true today. And here is Baraka Naughton, quoting from this Hopi prophecy. So, you know, Barack Hussein Obama, he resonates with a number of different past idyllic states, like John F. Kennedy. We find that we are now currently entering the space race with China, and this is very much like the space race back with the Russians, with JFK. We have another connection because of the Pope, and you better believe the Pope's in this picture, and you better look into, you know, Obama's ideas on Israel. And we got Pope Benedict the 16th, who is, of course, the raised Cardinal Ratzinger, who was originally a Nazi youth from Bavaria, no less. And, no, he has nothing to do with the Illuminati. But Pope Benedict just happened to take the name of Pope Benedict that was the Pope during World War I. So we get these iconographic ideas that are being placed in here. It's like all of the different wars, all of the different revolutions, all the different thoughts are all culminating at this time in Barack Hussein Obama. Now, the Pope has come out. And he has told us, well, all right, you know, the Templars are okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to, you know, I was looking into it, and I found that the Templars, well, they weren't actually such bad guys. And this is very curious, because we find that actually the Pope was looking into the Knights Templar before he became Pope. And a Spanish group claiming to be the heirs of the Knights Templar have filed a lawsuit against Pope Benedict XVI, seeking the rehabilitation of the once powerful Catholic religious order that was disbanded 700 years ago. The Association of the Sovereign Order of the Temple of Christ also demands recognition, though not restitution, of the $156 billion in assets that were taken from the original Templars upon their dissolution. Yeah. But we find that that actually the new Pope Benedict was actively investigating secret societies, including